Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message and that you share it with a friend. This week there are two messages from Pastor John. As early Sunday morning, the Holy Spirit spoke that he was to address the rising economic crisis which is now encompassing every nation in the world. It is his belief that the world government will shortly introduce their global leader, as nations are gasping for relief from rising oil prices. In the regular message from Back to the Book of Acts, we have now come to chapter 10 in the 26th message, and the big question is if this chapter deals with food or something else. Pastor John brings out that Talmudic Judaism teaches that Jews have souls and Gentiles do not. If this is true, Gentiles cannot be saved and are in the same category as animals. In Peter's vision, God forever destroyed this erroneous belief from the New Testament church and informed them that Jesus died for all people on this earth, not just the family of Abraham. This message is entitled Part 26, Destroying the Last Remnant of Judaism. Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor Terrell as he begins today's message.
Well, praise the Lord and welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, June 8th, 2008. And I'm still working in Back to the Book of Acts. Today would be part 26. Destroying the last remnant of Judaism, as we look in the book of Acts. But before I get into my message, I want to share something with you that we're going to pray. And I never thought that the day would come as a preacher that I would have to share this with people. Let's read from Revelation chapter 17, verse number 8. The beast that you saw, that referred now to the Antichrist, was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life for the foundation of the world, when they behold the Antichrist that was, and is not, and yet is. And here is a mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the beast, or the Antichrist that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goes into perdition. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast, or the Antichrist. These have one mind, and shall give the power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords, and King of kings. And they are with him are called, and chosen, and faithful. And he said unto me, the waters that you saw, where the whore sits, are peoples, and multitudes, and nations, and tongues. Never before in the history of mankind have we been in a place like we are today. The entire civilization on the earth, it goes for all nations, is built upon oil. Oil is driving our entire civilization. You have transportation, we have electricity. There is nothing that will function in our civilization today without oil. If we do not have oil, our civilization comes apart. Never before in the history of Earth have a group of people, which I call the world government, been able to control the entire planet. The crisis that we are facing right now, you have seen, we have just now hit $4 a gallon for gasoline. We are rapidly climbing to $5. And the prediction is that midsummer we'll be paying $6 a gallon. And before the year is out, we'll probably be up between $10 and $12 a gallon for gasoline. Our nation is being destroyed financially. But it's not only our nation. It's hitting all the nations in South America, Africa, Australia, Asia, Europe. There's no place today that is spared this destruction to our world economy. Right now in America, we have discomfort. We had to cut back on certain things. But already in Mexico, South America, and other places, there is a famine. Because as the oil price goes up, so does the food prices goes up. And food is getting scarce because we are making more fuel from food products. What I'm telling you today is prophetic in this way, that this is what God showed me. We will never again be back in times as they were. We're moving now into the time of the tribulation period. We have been for some time in a time of sorrows. But there's going to be a continuing drive. I just checked the oil, actually gasoline prices. And when we started this crisis just about 3 months ago, I wrote in my newsletter about it. And at that time, we were paying $3 a gallon here. And in Europe, they were paying between $6 and $7. Europe now is at 10, rising. We are coming right behind. If you notice now, in Revelation chapter 17, it says here, there are seven kings, five are fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come, and when he comes, he must continue a short space. And then it says this, in verse 12, and the ten horns which you saw are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as king 1 hour with a beast. If we use the time calculation we have in the New Testament, 1 hour with God is 41.2 years with us. This man will reign for 40 years. Close to about 42 years. The crisis we are facing now is not going to be solved by the Democrats. And it doesn't matter how much they talk about change. It's not going to be changed by Republicans. This is a global problem. It's going to take a global solution. And Satan's prepared a global man. A global man, I believe, that maybe within the next 10 months or 1 year will come on the scene and simply say, we have the solution to this gigantic problem. And the kings of the world, the presidents, rulers, prime ministers, they would simply be besides themselves and say, we have a crisis. We have no food. Our economy is in shambles. And we're going to give this man power to solve the world's problem. And we're going to slide right into the Antichrist system, not with war, but with flattery. Let me take you now to the book of Daniel, chapter 11. The book of Daniel, the 11th chapter. And I want to start in verse number 20. And I didn't really want to interrupt my preaching on back to the book of Acts. But I realized that things are happening so fast now that as a minister of the gospel, I need to address not only the church, but all the people around the world that are listening to us by audio. In Daniel 11:20, have you read this? Then shall stand up in his estate a raiser of taxes in the glory of the kingdom. But within a few days he shall be destroyed neither in anger nor in battle. Now we have been seen a lot of people that have been raising taxes over the years. But raising taxes is not going to solve the problem we are facing. And in his estate shall stand up a vile person. Notice not a verb here. A vile person. To whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom. But he shall come in peaceably. And obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of flood shall it be overflown from before him. And shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully. For he shall come up and shall become strong with a small people. Notice now, this man is going to come. He's not going to come in military might. He's going to have a small amount of people that will be his handler, so to say. And he will come up and he will take power and say, I have a solution to the oil crisis. I have a solution to the food crisis. He's going to outline that. And I predict that you and I in the future, maybe 10 months, maybe 2 years down the road, we will sit in front of our television screens and see this man speaking globally, maybe from the United Nations, and saying this, that our crisis is so terrible now that we cannot longer have global, we have to have a global economy, a global policy, and nationality got to go by the wayside. And people are going to say, whatever it takes, we are willing to eat it and to obey. If you really want to understand this, take your history books out. Go back to Germany, 1932. Germany was in shambles. Unemployment about 80%. It took a wheelbarrow to buy just a piece of bread, of money. The money was simply totally useless. Adolf Hitler came up with a small group of people. Just a small group. And he said this, I will put bread back on the table. I will bring work back. I will again heal Germany. And the people said, we accept that. For the next 4 or 5 years, Adolf Hitler brought Germany from chaos into a economic powerhouse. Everybody had work. Everybody got food. Everybody got something. They said Hitler is marvelous. Winston Churchill, that was not the prime, he became the prime minister later on in England. Winston Churchill said about 1937, the best thing that ever happened to Germany is Adolf Hitler. Those words are written down in history. 2 years later, Winston Churchill was at war with Adolf Hitler. I want you to understand now, we got to change our thinking. In verse 24, he shall enter peaceably, even upon the fattest places of the province. He shall do that which his father have not done, nor his fathers. He shall scatter among them the prey and spoil and riches. Yea, and he shall forecast his devices against the stronghold, even for a time. You and I need now to reassessment our lives. I believe we might have maybe a year or so before things are going to really change. But I believe that this man is going to come on the scene and things are going to change. This is the time we can preach the gospel. Now, I really want you to understand this. Midsummer, you and I will pay $6 a gallon for gas. Diesel will be higher. I believe by the end of this year, we'll be paying $10 to $11 a gallon. We cannot sustain that. That means that our standard of living got to change. We're going to be concerned about to pay our rent, pay mortgage, food on the table, fuel in the cars, we can go to work. And we're going to simply say this, luxury is going to be gone. We're not going to be able to afford it. There's going to be riots because when the young people are used to all the stuff that they can buy on credit and so on, as things are tightening up, we're going to see riots on the streets again, not only in other places, but also in the United States. Those of you old enough to remember the Watts riots back in the 70s, you remember that week was a terrible week, and we watched America burn in Los Angeles. Should we be scared? The question is no. You see, God is still on the throne. There is no crisis in heaven. God has a solution to every problem. But you see, God has foreordained for the Antichrist to come on the scene. We have always wished it would be down the road. Next generation. But now, we're going to begin to see the beginning of it. The mark of the beast is not going to come out right away. It might be another 10 years or 15 years before the mark of the beast. But it's going to be a tightening up. It's going to be a credit crunch. And we are not going to have the money like we've had it before. There's going to be a lot of unemployment, a lot of changes. People are not going to be able to afford to go out and eat in restaurants, to have their hair done, have their nails done. It's a lot of things that we will not be able to afford, have our cars washed and waxed and so on. It's going to be a pullback, which means a lot of people are going to lose their jobs. But God is going to be faithful. If you have been a tither, if you have been walking with God and you have been tithing, God will take care of you. And I believe that what we need to do now, you see, is this. Let me take you back to Germany again. Most of us are, I was born when the war started, so I was not there. But I studied my history. In 1947, 36, 37, 38, the Germans were so rich, the general people, that they have these cruise liners. They were going out all over the world with German workers, 2 to 3 weeks vacation. They had so much money in their pockets. And the German mark was simply king at that time. What did the German people do with their money at that time? They wasted it. They wasted it. And the question now is this. What should you and I do with our finances, with our time, with our talents, as we see things are changing? You know, you and I cannot take a dime with us up into heaven. We're not going to take anything with us except what we have invested in the kingdom of God. This is a time to invest in evangelism, witnessing, praying with people, minister to people that are in need. Let me take you back as I close this segment to the book of Revelation, chapter 17. It's the book of Revelation, the 17th chapter. Revelation, chapter 17. Let me just read this here again. And the beast, verse 11, that was and is not even the eighth, and is out of the seven, goes into perdition. And the ten horns which you saw are ten kings that have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. These have one mind, and shall give the power and strength of the beast. This man will reign for 1 hour or 42 years. On the news this morning, it was reported this, that the country of Burma is littered with corpses. The Burmese military government said, we don't want any help, we don't want anyone in. And the death toll in Burma now is reaching 1 million and rising. There's no place to bury people. They simply, all over the countryside, dead corpses. And there will be diseases and so on coming out. This world is in a crisis. We can do a few other things. We can pray and we can seek the Lord. Enjoy this summer what you can get out of it. Because I think we will not have another summer with barbecues, picnics that we have enjoyed in time past. Am I sad? Yes. I don't like things to change. I like to enjoy life. But you see, God has raised us up for this hour. This is our time to shine. This is our time to preach the gospel. Let me pray right now that we're going to move back into the book of Acts. My Heavenly Father, it was not pretty words that I shared today. But these are words that came to me during the night, Father God, burning in my bones. God, this is not the way to build a church, to tell people disaster is coming. Most people like to run to seek a friendly church, but hear some good stuff. But Father, we can no longer escape. Every time we go to a gas pump now, we realize something is wrong. Father, give us courage. Give us understanding. Give us a motivation. Holy Spirit, fall upon us. Empower us. Anoint us. And send us out to a world that is dying in their sins. That, Father, we can tell people, yes, our society is falling apart. But we have a kingdom of God that cannot be moved. And we have an eternity with God, Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit. Help us to bring that out. And Father God, I want to pray publicly now today. You know that for almost 10 months we've been working on our web streaming to be able to broadcast live on the internet. And Father God, the funds dried up. And we are short. And I pray today, Father God, as I'm standing in this pulpit, that there will be men and women around the world that will simply say this, we are going to take some of our savings, some of this or that, and we're going to make sure that we have this web streaming, that the gospel from resurrection life of Jesus Church will be preached for maybe a year, 2 years, 5 years, whatever time we got left, Lord. But there's so many people to be saved, so many people that need to be delivered from their demonic forces. Oh God, grant us the finances that we shall be able to move and move quickly. And now, Father, anoint my words. And this I ask in Jesus' name. And those are a great set. Amen. And amen. Let me take you right now to the book of Acts. Chapter 10 today. The book of Acts, the 10th chapter. Those of you that are visiting with us for the first time today, you can probably tell we are not a seeker-friendly church. But we are a Bible-teaching church. When I talk about destroying the last remnant of Judaism, we got to remember that Jesus was of the tribe of Judah. All the apostles were Jewish or from one of the other tribes, there are 12 tribes. The church of Jesus Christ is an Israeli church or a Jewish church. It's not a Gentile church. Judaism as a religion was not created by God, but was simply created by people over the ages. God gave word to Abraham and simply told him that in Abraham all nations will be blessed. He told Abraham about the Messiah to come. And Israel had two purposes: to contain and maintain the scriptures, the Old Testament, and to be a platform through the Messiah to come through the people of Israel. But the rabbis developed a religion, just like been done with Christianity. Let me read to you from my outline right now. 98% of the believers in Christ do not understand chapter 10 of the book of Acts. The majority of pastors, evangelists, and Bible teachers even do not understand the chapter. I can make these statements because after having received a master's degree at Divinity at Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary in Mill Valley in 1973, I passed on the error I have been taught. What is the error? The error that Christians can eat whatever they want because the Old Testament food laws do not apply anymore. You can only teach what you have learned, and I unknowingly repeated the same old lie dating back to the days of Schofield and Darby as they had set forth the doctrine of dispensationalism. Class at the seminary dealt with the history from Adam up to the time of Jesus. And that is where it ended. I remember thinking, what happened to the Jewish people after the first century? Years later, when I began to study Judaism, using the same textbook that the Jewish people used, I began to understand and many passages in the New Testament that were once confusing became clear and understandable. Rather than doing an in-depth study in the doctrine of Judaism, I will highlight the main doctrine concerning Jews and Gentiles. Point one. The majority of Jewish rabbis read, teach, and speak from the Talmud, a huge volume and commentary around 550 books dating back to the captivity in Babylon around 500 years before Christ, and have been enlarged over the years by the rabbis. Secondly, the Kabbalah is a second volume of books used by Jewish rabbis, around 600 books with the oldest part dating back to King Solomon. Point 3. Even though the rabbis would use the Old Testament in their teachings, the average Jew knows very little about it. Not too much about the Kabbalah, and base his belief is based upon what he's been taught from the Talmud. What is the doctrine of man according to the Talmud? The Talmud teaches that Jews are made in the image of God, and all other people living on this earth don't have a soul because they are animals and not humans. When Jews speak among themselves, they refer to Gentiles as goyim or cattle. Now, I want you to know that this is not new. This teaching from the Talmud goes back 2,500 years. It goes back to the time when the Jews were in captivity in Babylon. That's where the Talmud was developed. And they simply developed this and they said, now, we Jews are real people, made in the image of God. Gentiles are not. The Talmud teaches there is no salvation for Gentiles. They ought to be treated like the animals and will simply cease to exist when they die. Thus a Gentile has the same value as a cow, a horse, or a dog. He's just an animal. I'm not saying this because I hate the Jews. I do not hate Jewish people. I'm simply saying this is what the Talmud is teaching. I did not know this one in seminary. And what we're doing now is looking upon doctrine. For example, if you look upon the Mormon Church, the Mormon Church has a marvelous program, a family program. They're family-oriented. They take care of their own. They got their own welfare system. They got a number of different things. They are good, wonderful people, family-oriented. Now, they say they worship God. They worship Jesus. They believe in the Holy Spirit. But if you ask a Mormon now, who is God? He says, well, you know, I cannot really tell you that because, you know, that's a higher revelation and you need to progress in Mormon if God can tell you that. And he says, well, please cut that out. Tell me, who is your God? And the Mormon has to confess, because this is written in their books, that God to them is a man who lived in a previous life in a different solar system and evolved into a God. He is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where the Bible says that God is, there's no one else like him, there never will be. Now, can we therefore, as believers in Christ, have fellowship with Mormons and says, well, you know, because we worship God? No, we don't. They are worshiping a glorified man, but we are worshiping the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that always have existed, has no beginning, no end. It's a definition. Let me try to hammer that home. Let's say now that you're going to go, I'm just going to take you to a country, and let's say that you're going to go to Spain. In Spain, they use euros, which is a currency in Europe. Right now, they don't like dollars in Europe because the dollar has fallen so low, they simply don't pay us in that. It's like somebody come up and want to pay you in pesos, and you says, no, we don't take pesos here, give it to us in dollars. Now, so here you are in Spain now, and you got a wallet full of dollars, you want to go out and buy something, and you agree to the price. The price is 110 units. And you take out $110 and say, well, here's 110 bucks. And the sales clerk says, no, that is not what we are using here. We use euros. And the euro is $1.5. So it's going to be $150. But you says, well, it says, you know, the same number here, the same number on that bill. What's the difference between euros and dollars? Value. So you got to be in the same system. Let's talk about Jehovah's Witnesses for a moment. Now, Jehovah's Witnesses, they simply believe this. They believe in God, Jehovah. Oh, yes. And they believe, you know, but they do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So, how can we have fellowship with the Jehovah's Witness? A Jehovah's Witness is, well, Jesus is not God. Our Bible says that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Thus, I cannot have fellowship with Jehovah's Witnesses. I cannot have fellowship with Buddhists. Buddhist says, well, you know, Jesus was a great teacher. He was a wonderful teacher, wonderful principle, but he's not the Son of God. I don't hate Buddhists, I don't hate Mormons, I don't have Jehovah's Witnesses, but I can't have fellowship with them. Because their God is not the God of the Bible. This is what we got to understand. Either we have this word or we don't have this word. Now, let's go to the Jews. The Jews are simply saying this. If you're not Jewish, you don't have a soul, you can't be saved. Let me read on now. The Talmud teaches, there is no salvation for Gentiles. They are to be treated like the animals and will simply cease to exist when they die. Thus, a Gentile has the same value as a cow, a horse, or a dog. He's just an animal. The Talmud has one set of laws for the Jews and another for the Gentiles. If you do not believe this, do a research on Google, and you will find there's a lot of material out there that will tell you this. Second page now. Jews are not stupid. Jewish leaders and rabbis have known since the day of Babylon that if the teaching of the Talmud become common knowledge among the Gentiles, their days will be numbered on this earth. Therefore, there was a death sentence upon any Jew that revealed the secrets of the Talmud to the Gentiles. This worked for many centuries as the rabbis were able to keep the Talmud out of Gentile hands. After Martin Luther was saved and started the Reformation, he had a hunger to read the Old Testament in Hebrew to get a better understanding. He found some rabbis in Germany which agreed to teach him Hebrew. After a number of years, Luther came across some Talmudic material. What he read made him furious, and he wrote the small book in response called The Jews and Their Lies. The Jewish leadership was furious, and it was not until a few years ago that the World Lutheran Federation voted to reject the book and apologize to the Jewish people and declare that Martin Luther had been anti-Semitic. But the damage was done, and the hateful Talmud had been publicly uncovered. The exposures continued as a new Jewish generation came along. They were not familiar with Yiddish and Hebrew. The Talmud was translated to different languages, and more copies fell into the hands of the Gentiles. What did the apostles believe? Let's now look upon this. Peter, John, James, and all the others have been taught from childhood that only Jews had a soul. And as a result, only Jews could be saved and have eternal life with God. It took an act of God to change the understanding of the subject. Even though Jesus had told them to go out into the whole world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'll let you read yourself Matthew 28:18-20, and Mark 16:15-18. Let's talk about now reaching out to the Gentiles. We're now going to move to the book of Acts, chapter 10, verse 1. The city of Caesarea was a coastal town 50 miles north of Joppa. God moved upon a Roman officer who believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but since he was not Jewish, he could not convert to Judaism. I read for the Bible now. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. This now was a Roman officer. He had 100 men under his command. He believed in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He prayed, but according to the Jews at that time, he could not be saved. Verse 3. He saw in a vision, evident about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. Luke is pointing out now the angel came in the daytime. It was daylight. Cornelius was not sleeping. This is not a vision. This is not a dream. The angel simply appeared in broad daylight and said, Cornelius. And when he looked upon him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for memorial before God. This man had prayed for salvation. He knew from Judaism how could he be saved. But he had prayed to God, somehow, God, I'm a man. I want to be saved. I don't want just to die. Your prayers and your alms have come up for more before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He should tell you what you ought to do. It's not amazing now that here now is an angel coming up and saying, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard in heaven. I'm come down for you. 50 miles south, there's a city called Joppa. You send people down there. You go to this particular house. There's a man by the name of Peter. He's staying at the house called of Simon the Tanner, which was one that was making, they were making hide into leather. And he will tell you what to do. Cornelius was a man of faith. He took action at once. He sent a delegation to a city 50 miles south to bring a man back he had never met. Verse 7-9. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called to his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. And on the morrow, as they went on a journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up before the house to pray about the sixth hour, which would be about noon. Peter's vision. Let's read his vision now, verse number 10. And Peter, he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance. And he saw heaven open, a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners and let down to the earth. Wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord. For I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again a second time, what God has cleansed, that call you not common or unclean. This is done twice or three times, and the vessel was received up again to heaven. Now, while Peter doubted himself what his vision, now while Peter doubted himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, would lodge there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men seek you. Arise therefore and get you down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Here now we see Cornelius, a Roman soldier. He has prayed. God wants him to be saved. God sends some angel to him and say, this is what you do. He sent the Holy Spirit to Peter and said, there are three men coming down. Go with them, because I have sent them. It's the same thing for you and I today. In these last years we got left, God is speaking to you and me. There are people out there that have not yet heard the gospel. I have earmarked them for you. I have told them about you. He has told us about them. And Peter simply said, I will go. Look down at verse number 21. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him, for Cornelius said, behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause where you are come? Peter said, now, what's your business? What do you want me to do? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, of one that fears God and of good report among all nations of the Jews, was warned from God by an holy angel to send for you into his house and hear words of you. Then called them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them with him. And on the morrow, after he entered Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, had called to get his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down to his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. As he talked with him, he went in and found many were come together. And he said to them, you know, that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come into one or another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Look at verse 28 now. Verse 28 give us the clue. This is the insight. Peter says, it is unlawful for me to be here. What was he referring to? The Talmud. I want you to think further. Here's a Roman officer. He's part of the occupying army, the Roman army of Judah. Here now is Peter saying to this officer, you're no good. I'm not supposed to come into your house. You are unclean. A Roman officer or a soldier with sympathy says, oh yeah, well, let me do this. Let me have you taste how unclean my sword is. He would have killed him. Peter is absolutely truthful. He is simply shaken here. He said, it's unlawful for me to be here. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Division in chapter 10 had nothing to do with food. It had to do to destroy the last part of the Talmud that said that Gentiles cannot be saved. Now, therefore, came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. In other words, I didn't come here to be paid for. I asked therefore what intent you have sent for me. By the way, next week, you're going to be reading about, it's going to be a conference at Capital Christian Center. And they're bringing in a number of speakers for a conference. And according to the numbers, these are approximate numbers now, one of the speakers is charging between $10,000 to $20,000 per speech. Peter said here, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. In other words, I didn't come here to make money. And that's the same thing with you and me. Freely we have received, freely we give. Let's hear what Cornelius said now. 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak unto you. Immediately, therefore, I sent to you. And you are well done, for you are not come. Now, therefore, are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded you of God. Isn't that marvelous? This man had gathered all his family, all the soldiers, and they simply said, we are here. We want to hear about God. I want you to tell me something. There are people out here now in the world, in America, in our city, that as pressure is going to build, the world is going to crumble around them. They're going to look and say, is there a God? Is there a solution? They're going to come and ask you, what can we do? This is going to be our finest hour. Then Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is not respecter of persons. Peter now said, now I understand that the Talmud is not right. Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. Let me emphasize this. Peter, prior to Jesus, was reading the Talmud. John, James, all the apostles have been raised with the Talmud. And suddenly, everything he had known from childhood suddenly was wrong. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteous is accepted with him. I remember when I came here to this country. I was raised a Lutheran. I was born a Lutheran, baptized 3 days old at the Lutheran church by sprinkling, confirmed when I was 13 years old, and the Lutheran state church and the Swedish nation were one thing. If you were a good Swede, you're a good Lutheran. If you're a good Lutheran, you're a good Swede. And I remember when I was presented with the gospel over here, and I had to make a stand, that I had fear had fear. I thought about it. What about all the traditions? My forefathers going back for 1,000 years being Lutherans. And I remember when I stood in the Baptist to be baptized, I trembled and said, am I betraying my ancestors? It is hard to give up wrong doctrine. It's not easy. But you see, I was convinced of one thing. He was a Lutheran. I was convinced that this is the Word of God. And when I read it and I saw what it said, I realized that the Lutheran Church had not told me the truth. Just like the Roman Catholic Church is not telling their people the truth. Or the Mormons, or Jehovah's Witnesses, or some of the others. They're lying. And now, Peter started to preach. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. That is a pearl verse in the middle of that chapter. Do you see that? Jesus healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews, in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. Not to all people, but unto witness chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet speaks these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. As he was preaching, these people simply their hearts said and prayed, I believe in Jesus. I believe that Jesus is the Messiah. I repent of my sins right now. I receive Christ right now. Peter did not even have finished his sermon. And the Holy Ghost fell upon them. And they had a circumcision. By the way, if you don't understand that, when they talk about circumcision, that means Jewish. And they of Judaism, which believed they were Christians, were astonished. As many as came with Peter, because that of the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. This was an earthquake in Judaism. The Holy Ghost poured out upon Gentiles, which means that Gentiles are people. They have souls. And suddenly, the eyes of Peter were open. For they heard us speak with tongues and magnify God. And then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And then they prayed him to tarry certain days. Next week, Lord willing, we're going to do chapter 11. And you will find that Peter had to go to Jerusalem and defend his position. But you see, this is good news for you and me. We are Gentiles. At least I think we are Gentiles. Who knows? But you know, It would have been a sad day if Jesus only died for Jewish people. It would have been a sad day. I know that at least we got one Greek here. It would be sad for the Greeks, for the Swedes, for the Russians, Ukrainians, Americans. But Jesus died for all people. My closing scripture is in Genesis chapter 12. That's Genesis, the 12th chapter. Now, to you and me, this might not mean a whole lot because we've been so used to that we can be saved. But this is the watershed, a revelation. And let me read to you now from Genesis 12, 1 through 3. Look what God said almost 4,000 years ago. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get you out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, unto the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and curse that curses you. And in you shall all families of the earth be blessed. What was the nationality of Abraham? He was a Chaldean. He was born in the land of the Chaldees. At the time of Abraham, there were no Jews. Jews is not a race. It's a family. It's the offspring of Abraham. And God said to this Chaldean, I'm going to make you a blessing, and you shall be a blessing to all families of the earth. You know, we have gone a long way in the United States. There was a time in this nation when black people were simply thought to be cattle. Was slavery. And not all American, but particularly in the South. And you know, the tragedy is that the slave ships that came were British. And the slave ships were owned by Jewish businessmen in London that contracted and had black people chase black people and put them on boats, put them over here. And you know, I want you to think about this now. This is history. But you see, for a white man, a farmer, whatever it is, to go to a slave auction, and there, as the men came out, the women and children, they would go prior to, you know, just open their mouth, check their teeth, you know, and touch the muscle just like you do with buying a horse. You cannot do that if you think that this is a human being. They thought they were cattle. Subhumans. Well, you know, the Indians were not treated a whole lot better. I'm sure you heard, I was born in Sweden, raised in Sweden, but I've read a lot of Indian books and cowboy books and so on. And I remember this was a slogan, oh, that's just an old dirty Indian. Indians had really no value at a certain time. And if Indians lived on a land that had gold or whatever it was, they were just driven out, killed, murdered, you know, we just wiped them out. But today, because we have the Bible, we know that the black people, the Indians, the people from Japan, the Philippines, Swedish people, Russian people, we all come from the same blood. We came from Noah, his three sons, and their wives. And Noah came from Adam. in Germany prior to the attack on Russia. The Germans began to teach it at schools. The Slavs are subhumans. They are not people. They are animals. They talked about Lebensraum, which means that the Germans said, we got to have more living room. We got to move all Slavs on the other side of the Ural Mountains. Move them beyond the Ural Mountains and create living room for the Germanic race. Before a war starts, each nation dehumanized the other nation, and then the war begins. What can we learn from this today? We can learn this, that God has created all men equal. There's no poor, rich, male, female. We are one in Christ. And you and I are just as precious in God's eyes as anyone else. And we need to be loving, kind, courteous. And we need to say, Jesus loves you, and He wants to save you. As I close this message today, I really had two messages. One today about the Antichrist to begin with, and after this about the last blow to Judaism. You know, each one of us have prejudice. There's certain people we don't like. It doesn't have to be skin color. But you know, there's certain people that we just don't get along with. That might be the same color skin we have or whatever it is. But we just don't like them. And as long as you have that feeling, the love of God cannot flow in you. We need to ask God today, give us love for all people. The punk rockers, those that are tattoos, those people, you know, we think are not anything. God loves them. And we need to say, Father God, today, baptize us in your love. Invitation today is this. How are you living your life right now? Are you satisfied with the way you're going? Is your financial house in order? Are you setting your house in order? Are you preparing for the end times? The altar will be open here. The altar will be here to pray with you. If you want to pray and just talk to God, my chair is to my right to your left. These are prayer altars. You can go there and pray. No one will disturb you. If you are sick, you want to be prayed for sick, you come on up. If you want to surrender, maybe God called you to full-time ministry today. Maybe God called you to be a preacher. Who knows what God will be speaking to you. Let's stand and let the Holy Spirit move right now. My Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise you right now for these moments we had here today. And oh God, this message is just beginning here now. It was spoken first in our church building. And this coming week, Father God, will be echoed in many different nations around this world. And I pray, Father God, for your Holy Spirit to use my words, to use the reading for the Bible, and Father God, to bring people to their knees, salvation, rededication of their lives, reevaluation of who they are, what they're doing, Lord. And help us to prioritize and recognize that things are changing, times are changing. Help us, Lord, to be filled with your power and your joy and your strength and be victorious as we draw nigh to the time of Antichrist and after him, the coming of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. When we are going to march into your kingdom and be there forever and ever and ever. Father God, we are not afraid. We know we have to go through this fire first. So help us, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. And those who are agreed said, amen. The altars are open. You come as God leads as we sing.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth, and your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are. You've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, "Well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something?" Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just one commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5:7 through 8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today, one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that You would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in You. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that You paid for my sins on the cross through Your shed blood, and that You died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank You for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with You. Help me to be obedient and to walk with You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. You have been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the 26th part in the series Back to the Book of Acts and was entitled Destroying the Last Remnant of Judaism. Pastor John spoke about the rising economic crisis which is now encompassing every nation in the world, and how he thought the world government would shortly introduce their global leader as nations are gasping for relief from rising oil prices. In the regular message, the big question was if chapter 10 dealt with food or something else. Pastor John brought out that Talmudic Judaism teaches that Jews have souls and Gentiles do not. If this is true, Gentiles cannot be saved and are in the same category as animals. In Peter's vision, God forever destroyed this erroneous belief from the New Testament church and informed them that Jesus died for all people on this earth, not just the family of Abraham. This message is available on CD and cassette, and when ordering, ask for sermon number 1137. There are several ways you can contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number is 1-888-708-3232. That's 1-888-708-3232. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.